Is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, July 23rd, 2021. Producing from his home studio in the foothills of Connecticut is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster, only working from my home in New York. Just 1 week to go before the trade deadline, and yesterday we got the biggest trade of the summer so far. The Tampa Bay Rays, the defending American League champions, acquired slugger Nelson Cruz in a four-player deal with the Minnesota Twins. They got a couple of pitching prospects that are ranked within the Rays farm system at number 10 and number 17. Nelson Cruz, such an important part of the Twins lineup in recent years, but also their culture. He was beloved within that organization. Here's Nelson Cruz talking about leaving the Twins.
Well, like I said, I wasn't expecting this. You know, even if you you're expecting that, but you're not ready. You never prepared for something like this. So it was shocking when I got the news. I mean, especially my age, you know, I play to win, you know, and to have that opportunity, I mean, it's definitely a blast. I will try to get the best out of that situation. Make sure I'm ready for whatever comes next.
So for the Tampa Bay Rays, emotional jolt, adding a big slugger, something that they needed. I'm going to be talking with Carl Ravitch about this deal. The Rays faced the Indians yesterday. They were down in the top of the ninth inning, but came back.
Pitch lifted in the air, left center field. Mercado back to the wall. He jumps up. It's off the wall. Here's Phillips to third. He's going to be waved home. Throw to the plate is... too late! Phillips scores, and the Rays have tied this game at four on the RBI double by Brandon Lau.
Dave Will, 620 WDAE. They played into extra innings. Here was the top of the 10th.
Swinging a line drive left center. That gets into the gap base hit, and it should give the Rays the lead. A Rosarena rounding third, and he will score, and Nettos has done it again. Yesterday won the game for the Rays. Today gives them the lead in the 10th. 5-4 Rays in Cleveland.
And that would be the final. What a great day for the Tampa Bay Rays, making the trade, winning the game. The Red Sox in first place in the American League East faced the Yankees. New York took the lead in the top of the 8th.
Fly ball, shallow left center. That's going to dunk in for a base hit, mishandled by Verdugo. Here comes LeMahieu. He will score. And the Yankees take a 2-1 lead on the RBI single by Stanton.
And that was Michael Kay on the Yes Network. And the Yankees were within one out of winning this game. Kike Hernandez at the plate.
1-0 pitch. Swing a shot toward left center field. Gardner toward the gap. He can't get it. A one up the wall. A run is scored. Here comes Duran rounding third. And he will cross the plate. The game is tied at 3. Can you believe it? A gap shot by Kike Hernandez on a 1-0 pitch.
That was the great Joe Castiglione on WEEI. The Yankees took a 4-3 lead in the top of the 10th inning. But in the bottom of the 10th inning, Yankees pitcher Brooks Kreisky completely fell apart.
The pitch. To the backstop, and Bogaerts over to third. This is totally insane. The fourth wild pitch of the inning. They've all been on splitters. And Brooks Kreisky is gift wrapping this ball game for the Red Sox.
That tied an all-time record in Major League Baseball. Four wild pitches in an inning. And it set up this play.
Swing and a line drive into right field. Back on it, Allen. It is deep. Tagging at third is Bogaerts. Red Sox are going to win the game. Throw is wide. 5-4 the final. And in one of the craziest innings you'll ever see, a Red Sox walk the Yankees off.
The end of the day, the Red Sox lead over the Yankees at 8 games. They have 3 more games left in that series. Earlier in the day, the Tigers and the Rangers, they got to watch this whole game. Pretty cool to see the energy level of the Tigers, and they jumped on Texas early.
2-on, 1-out, swinging a fly ball, left field, goodbye! Eric Haas with a no-doubter to left, number 15, 3-0 Tigers in the first.
Dan Dickerson, 97.1, the ticket. The Tigers win 7-5, their 7th consecutive victory. the Braves, the Phillies, two teams chasing the Mets in the National League East, and Dansby Swanson came through with a big hit.
Here's the pitch to Dansby. He swings and drives one deep left field, a jolt of lightning into the seats. It's a grand slam for Dansby Swanson. That is his first grand slam, and it's 5-0 Atlanta.
Now from 680, the Fan, the Braves win 7-2. Giants and Dodgers, the final game of their four-game series last night. We talked in yesterday's podcast about how Dodgers manager Dave Roberts was not happy about the booing that was aimed at closer Kenley Jansen after Jansen blew his save on Wednesday night. And on Thursday, Roberts gave the ball back to Jansen again. And there was a play that looked like it might end the game.
Bases loaded, two down, ninth inning, 1-1. Estrada on the ground to short. Taylor's got it. He'll go to second, and he just got him. And I think the Giants are definitely going to want to look at this.
That was close.
Really close. If the call was correct, the game's over. I think he might have been safe. So close. Ball hits glove there. That one is hard to tell. Here we go. Call safe.
And there you have it.
Wow. So a run has scored on a ground ball that looked like it would end the game. Now the tying run is at third. The go-ahead run is at second. And Max Muncy is trying to give Kenley Jansen a pep talk.
And Darren Ruff came to the plate for the Giants. Two strikes. Listen to what happened.
And a high fastball, a check swing, the ruling. No swing. It came down to that. Ed Hickox, the umpire at first, said no swing. And Dave Roberts comes out screaming from the dugout, taking his hat off. He runs across the infield to go right after Ed Hickox.
Yep, and Mike Kruko, Dave Fleming, and the Giants television broadcast last night. That was John Miller on the radio broadcast. They talked about how, in their eyes, it was the wrong call, that it was a swing. But on that play, the inning continued. Lamont Wade Jr. stepped to the plate.
Swing, line drive to right field, and in front of the diving McKinney. Base hit. Vossler scores right behind him. Estrada. He scores. It's 5-3 Giants. Incredibly, lightning has struck twice. The Giants have scored four runs in the ninth inning. They have come from behind for the second night in a row against the great Dodger closer, Kenley Jansen.
The final score there would be 5-3. Kenley Jansen was relieved out of the game by Roberts after that, and he heard more booing in that situation. After the game, San Francisco manager Gabe Kapler absolutely piled praise on Jason Vossler for beating that throw to second base. Apparently got a great secondary lead to set himself up there. All right, so this weekend I'm going to be in Milwaukee. We've got two first-place teams, the Chicago White Sox, traveling up to Milwaukee to face the first-place Brewers. I'm pretty fired up about that. What do you got, Taylor?
Buster, you can listen to that game if you're not watching it on ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball, White Sox at Brewers. Tune-in time is 6 p.m. Eastern, and you can listen to those teams play on Saturday as well. Tune-in time is 6:30 p.m. Eastern for that one.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes, the clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
All aboard. It's the Rabby Train with Carl Ravitch.
Where's the Rabby Train this morning, Carl? Tonight.
Rabby Train sitting outside right now, enjoying about an 80-degree day. It's about the nicest day we've had, Buster, in the Northeast this summer. It's cool. There's a little breeze. And we're having a little Ravitch family gathering tomorrow, which will be really nice. Kind of a in honor of Father's Day when we were at the College World Series. So my whole family's coming down, and I'm just looking forward to spending some time with folks outside. It's going to be really nice.
That's awesome. It's funny that you said that because I walked outside this morning to take out my recyclables. And my first thought was, ooh, we got a little cool, like the first hint of fall, which I'm kind of excited about.
Very excited about it. Very excited about it. And, of course, the fall for us means, you know, playoff baseball, which is always a great thing.
Exactly. Now, maybe the Rays will be part of the playoff baseball this fall. We'll get to their trade for Nelson Cruz in a moment. But I wanted to ask you about this. Yesterday, we learned that the NFL added an additional COVID-19 vaccination incentive for players, threatening forfeits and the loss of game checks if an outbreak among unvaccinated players caused an unresolvable disruption in the regular season schedule. Those words written by my good friend Kevin Seifert on ESPN.com. Commissioner Roger Goodell informed the clubs the new policy Thursday in a memo. They have encouraged vaccination for players, but have not required it to date. Carl, when I saw this, I immediately thought, well, I'm getting a view of baseball's future. It's obviously not going to happen in 2021, but I think in 2022, you will see a parallel policy put in by Major League Baseball. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think the NFL has been more proactive than other leagues in all decisions, whether it's vaccine related or media related or social media related or business related. They seem to recognize their power and authority. And as a league, they put business first. And for them, this is a business decision. And I know having this conversation, there are going to be people who will call it a political conversation. We'll get into rights, et cetera. And all those things are valid to it. But in the end, if we haven't learned one thing growing up, that money and business dictate everything. And if you're going to interrupt the business of football, you're talking about interrupting, you know, a billion, multi-billion dollar industry. That's not going to work. That ultimately is the deciding factor. Major League Baseball is a billion-dollar industry. At some point, you've got to be proactive in decisions you think are going to allow your multi-billion-dollar industry to stay on track, to not be derailed. And the NFL is willing to dive into the swimming pool of controversy, et cetera. With regards to the vaccine alone, this country has grown up on vaccines. This now in 2021, 2022, seems to be the next vaccine that we are all going to be required to take when we are born or as we are growing up. And that seems to be the direction we're going in. And I applaud the NFL for taking a stand one way or the other, to be honest, taking a stand and saying, here's how it's going to be. I applaud them for that. My opinion about the vaccines, notwithstanding, but certainly relevant to our conversation, just so you can have my opinion, is to me, being vaccinated is the smarter way to go, the safer way to go than not being vaccinated. So I personally would support any decision that makes a vaccine a requirement for a private industry, for a business. If you want to be part of the business, then we require you to be vaccinated. And if you choose not to, which is your right, there will be some ramifications with it.
The reaction in the NFL yesterday, most notably DeAndre Hopkins, a superstar wide receiver, tweeted about freedom, used that word, freedom question mark, and he suggested he might need to think about his future in the NFL. Carl, I get the feeling that, you know, not only in the NFL, but in Major League Baseball and other professional sports, the reaction from executives, at the highest level would be fine. You know, you don't want to play. You want to go do something else? Go for it. I just remember last week, you know, Major League Baseball, you know, had arranged their second half schedule built around the first game of a Red Sox-Yankee series. And this is not any individual player, but when that was all interrupted by a COVID outbreak, there was real anger. Like, geez, you know, we had this all set up. We had this great matchup between these two longstanding rivals to kick off the second half. And that game, which probably would have been the highest rated, one of the highest rated of the season, didn't happen because of a COVID outbreak. And so I think the feeling increasingly within baseball is you don't want to play because we're trying to encourage you to get a vaccine. Fine. Go find something else to do.
Yeah. And again, it's a fine line, but I think it's an important distinction. DeAndre Hopkins or anyone else who says I will now need to consider whether I play football moving forward. The operative and me, to me, the most important part of that sentence is I. This right. is an I, this is a me. We've eliminated the we. It's an I thing. And look, this is a society where I and me are the two most prominent words you ever see or hear. And I try not to be an I or me person. You certainly, as part of an organization, as a team, it's a we thing. And a lot of times, personally, we gets lost in the I and the me. And that's a great example. The enormous frustration, disappointment, and by the way, cost associated with losing a game like Yankees Red Sox out of an All-Star break is a big deal. There is a financial component to it. It is a big deal. And this is where business is going to become a factor. And the NFL sees that. And Major League Baseball knows it. And I'm sure there was an incredible amount of frustration because what the NFL did was make a distinction. If your team has an outbreak of unvaccinated players, that's a distinction. Unvaccinated players, then you are going to forfeit the game. It didn't say if your team has an outbreak, then you're going to forfeit a game. It made the distinction of unvaccinated. And again, they rooted in science. And that has been proven, at least right now, that if you're unvaccinated, the chances of you getting very sick are greater. The chances of you dying are greater than those vaccinated. And the NFL is saying it's not a risk we are willing to take on a personal, group, or business level. And I respect it and applaud it.
Yeah, it's funny because I think for folks of your and my generation, you know, we're both in our 50s, it's a confusing conversation because we grew up with vaccinations, as you touched on. We grew up, if you didn't get a measles vaccination, you weren't going to go to school. They weren't going to allow you to go there. If you got chicken pox, I don't know what's good for you, but you weren't going to school because you were, you know, the handling of your situation was going to be within the context of what was best for society. And that's right. Where I think, you know, in terms of the society of the businesses of the NFL, the Major League Baseball, the NBA, I suspect, you know, that's where all that is going. All right, let's talk about the Nelson Cruz trade. I love this. You know, I was on SportsCenter and Randy Scott does a great job. You know, he asked, boy, you know, why would the Rays give up two, you know, top pitching prospects for Nelson Cruz? And I mentioned to him that the Rays farm system is loaded. Those two prospects, according to MLB.com, are number 10 and number 17 in their system. And Carl, I love the fact that they're going for it. You know, they made the World Series last year. They're a game behind the Red Sox in the American League East as of this morning. The one problem area they've had, and it's not necessarily a huge problem, but their offense has been erratic. They're 25th in batting average. They're 15th in slugging percentage among the 30 teams. They are 7th in runs scored. It's part of that Tampa Bay Rays secret sauce. I think Nelson Cruz is a perfect addition for them. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, my opinion yesterday, as I had conversations with baseball fans in my family and elsewhere, golly, the Rays just do everything right. Like, isn't it amazing how it's the Rays who kind of like the White Sox have historically went out and addressed the need? They do everything right. And the reason the Rays are consistently good or have been in the last, you know, 10 years, it feels like, is that they have a ton of really good players, not necessarily superstars, really good players, and they seem to have far fewer weaknesses, holes, and I never want to call any major league player a bad player, but they have fewer weaknesses or holes than other teams do. And because of that quality depth, they are in games, they're in races, and to go out and get Nelson Cruz is one of those things where you look, you know, you could take any team. Take the Dodgers. Wow, boy, it looks like they need a closer. If they yesterday went out and traded for Craig Kimbrell, you'd be like, oh, my God. They saw an issue. They addressed an issue. If the Cardinals went out and got a starting pitcher, wow, they saw an issue and they addressed it. Or they went out and got another bullpen piece. If all of a sudden the Yankees traded for Javier Baez, even in light of the Trevor Story story, hey, that made sense. Now Glaber goes to second. Like, they got out ahead of it instead of reacting. The Rays made it what appears to be a brilliant move yesterday. And by the way, you find me a team that has developed bullpen arms over the last few years, whose names no one knew until they got into July, August, September, and you realized, oh my God, they have four of those guys that throw 90, as Kevin Cash famously said about his stocked bullpen. Right. You know, they seem to have found the formula for that. It's like Pete Alonso has found the formula for the home run derby. So trading two guys in a position where you seem to know how to bake the best chocolate chip cookie ever, we know how to do that already. What we don't know how to do is when we get to the postseason last year, if Lau's not hitting and Meadows isn't hitting, well, they can pitch to a Rosarena and we're kind of in trouble here. So now we complement a Rosarena, an improved Meadows, et cetera, with Nelson Cruz. Sure. Brilliant. Looks great. They do everything right.
And I think the Red Sox absolutely are going to respond here in these next 7 days. Just talking with sources yesterday, they clearly match up very well with the Chicago Cubs and a couple of players. And I don't know, first off, the Cubs, and I heard this all around baseball yesterday, they haven't actually set specific asking prices for the teams they're talking to. That presumably will come sometime in the next 72 hours so that their potential trade partners will have a deal to say yes or no to. But, you know, Craig Kimbrell is going to be someone who's drawing interest from clubs like Houston, from the Red Sox, maybe from Oakland, you know, the National League contenders as well. But Anthony Rizzo could not be a more perfect fit for the Red Sox in terms of what they need. Left-handed hitter, heart rate at 60 in October, tons of experience, tremendous defender, great at picking balls out of dirt, which would be great for Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts, who'd make the pitching better. And Carl, he'd be going back to the organization that drafted him.
Yeah, which is, it would be a neat bookend story. Look, I love him. I think he's great. He's a great guy to have on your team. I think right now there's a malaise about the Chicago Cubs. I think there's a level of disinterest. I think the most important part of a deal for any Cub player to a contender would be you're playing yes. on a contender. You're in a race. I mean, I don't know if you saw it the other night, but he made one of the for lack of a better term, and he's not dumb, but one of the dumbest base running plays I've seen in a long time in a game in which we went from major league to little league between the Cubs and the Cardinals. But first and third, nobody out in the 10th inning, ground ball to the shortstop, who's at double play depth. Rizzo's at third base. He ends up not going on contact. The third base, the shortstop Sosa steps on second, and Rizzo then decides, I'm going to try to go. And he got doubled off. It was mind blowing, to say the least. But I think there's a frustration. There's a level of disinterest. It's an easy one for the Cubs, whether it's the Red Sox or any place, because he's a free agent. You can re-sign him if you love him that much and you want him on your team and be part of the rebuild. But sure, that would be one that makes sense. Similarly, I don't know. I think the Dodgers have a big problem at the back end of their bullpen, and Craig Kimbrell's out there. Figure it out. He is literally the best closer in baseball right now.
Yep. I reported yesterday the Yankees are among the teams that have checked in with the Rockies on Trevor Story, which is a long way from actually making a trade. It would make sense for the Yankees if you felt like, hey, we're going to make a push for the playoffs, because you could put him at short. You put Gleyber Torres at second base. But there's still a real question among rival executives about whether or not the Rockies actually will trade Story. And I got to tell you, Carl, as I was listening to this yesterday, I was just thinking the Rockies ownership, Dick Monfort, he would be insane to again squander value from a player. Look, the way the Nolan Arenado thing played out, I can't even put a number on how much value they squandered with the way they handled this, you know, having to wind up eat so much money to trade him. And then they didn't, it's not like they got this huge cachet of prospects when they made that deal. And to keep Trevor Story through the trade deadline, and to see him walk away as a free agent in the fall, and all you get back in return is a draft pick, that would be insane to me, Carl.
It would be. I mean, what is the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again, and the result is always the wrong one. Look, for me, Buster, it's nice that they're interested in Trevor Story, but the Yankees could also get him as a free agent after the season. If we're going to specifically talk about the Yankees, before they're making any move, I think you got to figure out, you got to play better, and then you got to figure out, are you really in a race right now? No expanded playoffs, and the way that they're losing games and playing and have played all year, I'm not certain I would give up any assets to get a guy that's going to be a free agent, because then I'm giving up assets for somebody I can get when the season is over. And I'm out on right now that the Yankees are a playoff team or in the playoff race until I start to see them play better. I don't know that I would invest in a Trevor Story using pieces. I would invest in him with money, which the Yankees, you know, while they've been somewhat frugal, if that's the guy you want to move Gleyber, then go sign him in the offseason. So to me, it's how you're playing right now, and are you really a legitimate playoff possible team? And I look at that division in the league, and they're not.
Two more quick ones for you before you go. Yesterday, we saw Kenley Jansen blow another save opportunity. That's three blown saves his last three outings. Dave Roberts told reporters afterward he's sticking with Kenley Jansen, which, you know, it wouldn't surprise me that he would say that, because even if he wasn't, he would say publicly
exactly
that he was.
Right.
I really feel like the Yankees kind of certainly have provided the template for how do you handle this situation with the Dodgers moving forward. I wouldn't at all be surprised if today, tomorrow, we hear from Dave Roberts, you know what, we're gonna give Kenley a little break from being the closer, kind of like the Yankees did with Aroldis Chapman. We're going to give him a little break. We're going to try to get him right, because they can't live with this day after day after day.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's twofold, because while the Yankees have said we're going to take a break from Chapman, the problem has been that Aroldis Chapman, when he's good, is way more effective than anybody else they had. And we saw that play out last night. In the Dodgers case, by showing your hand and saying Kenley is going to get a break now, certainly alerts other teams that have closers. The Dodgers may be calling us looking for a closer, so we should be ready, but we should also be ready to ask them for a lot more than they're currently willing to part with. So, yeah, it's a dance. It's a fine line. What you say about the guy, and he's still our guy. I will say this. If I'm a Dodger fan, and we play the role of being a fan of all 30 teams, you try to put yourself in the shoes of Rays fan, Dodger fan, Astro fan, Blue Jay fan, whatever it may be, I personally don't really want to hear that Kenley Jansen is still our closer. It's not going well. And again, I think when you look at the closers in baseball, he wouldn't be in the top five for me. He'd be lower. So, and I want to win a championship. I currently have Kenley Jansen my closer. I need to do better than that. I'd love him to be a part of the back end of our bullpen. I don't want to rely on Kenley Jansen, not the way he's going right now. So it's nice that Dave says that. I don't want to hear it if I happen to be a Dodger fan. I'd say, why?
Yeah, right. Exactly. I sent this tweet out yesterday after our discussion, the podcast, about American League Manager of the Year, not National League Manager of the Year, Gabe Kapler, not in this conversation, American League Manager of the Year. As of today, who would you pick? Alex Cora of the Red Sox, Tony La Russa of the White Sox, Dusty Baker of the Astros, or AJ Hinch of the Tigers? Tigers, just keep on winning, Carl.
Yeah, I know. They've won seven in a row. And look, I know, given the way they've drafted, given the players in that organization, given the division they play in, they're going, you know, they're going in a direction that's really good. And I think they're going to be really good, because I also do think he's really good. And look, if you can get past what Cora and Hinch did when they were in Houston, you are reminded that they're both really smart guys. Look, last night, you know, it seems simple, but Jaren Duran sitting there at first base as a pinch runner, and he comes all the way around to score. He's just, you know, he or the bench coach, whatever the combination is, we got to get the speed on first. And he ends up scoring on a gap double to tie the game in the ninth, because you made that decision. You were ahead of it. The guys you just mentioned are all ahead of it. It's a weird one for me, because I think the Red Sox were a disaster last year for reasons I can only associate with the pandemic. To me, they were the greatest underachiever last year. And whether that's because Cora wasn't there, I think there's some of that, but I think it's overstating to say that he's the manager of the year, because I've seen this before. It's not like he's new, not like Kevin Cash is new to the team that they currently have. Like, the Red Sox should have been better last year. The idea that they're really good this year, I think he's a big part of the ingredient in the formula, but not the only one. Like, J.D. Martinez took the year off last year. Bogaerts and Devers weren't who they are. They all took the year off. So do we say Alex Cora gets them to play better? Chris Sale comes back, they may become the best team. I actually checked Tony La Russa's box. I think he's the manager of the year. I really do. And I know they've been good, but they've also been brutally injured. And all the skepticism about Tony La Russa coming into this season, his ability, et cetera, to communicate, I don't know. It's working. Whether it's the good players or not, he to me is the manager of the year.
It's a fun conversation, and we're certainly going to have it as this year plays out. There will be so many layers, the American League Manager of the Year conversation. Yep. All right, Carl, thanks for doing this. Great to talk with you.
Be good.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Todd Radom is the chief executive of our weekly quiz. He's a graphic artist whose work can be seen on ball fields all across America, all around the world, or you can go to his website, toddradom.com. Todd, how are you doing this week?
Very well, Buster. How are you, my friend?
I'm feeling great. Headed off to Milwaukee this weekend, it's the first time I've been to Milwaukee with Matt Viskirjan. You know, of course, worked for years with the Milwaukee Brewers, and I told him, I'm like, you are going to point out the best food places for me in the ballpark. I want to have a Milwaukee food experience, because I've always heard it's the best.
Oh, bratwurst, beer, all of it. And it needs to be said, you're traveling to the home of the NBA world champion Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, and we had this, and I'll let you vote on this before we get to this week's Forgotten Franchise. About 18 months ago, because I love watching Giannis play, 18 months ago, I got a Milwaukee Bucks sweatshirt. Nice. And, you know, I said to my son the other day after they won the title, I said, Jake, you're not allowed to wear my Bucks sweatshirt. And he goes, you're just a bandwagon guy. And I'm like, wait a second. I bought it, 18 months ago. Todd, am I a bandwagon guy?
No, you're not a bandwagon guy, Buster. And to further that train of thought, I always go back and forth about baseball caps. We've talked about baseball caps for years on this podcast. And is it okay to wear a cap of another team that you're not affiliated with? Now, if I'm a Red Sox fan, I might have a little trouble wearing a Yankees cap, but I'm all down wearing a White Sox cap or an Orioles cap for Taylor or something like that. So to all of that is to say that you are cool with it, and I will just throw over the fence the fact that the Milwaukee Bucks original logo from, you know, the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor version of Bango the Buck spinning, you know, sitting there spinning a basketball is one of my favorites of all time. So you can wear anything you want.
Well, I appreciate that. Just to double back, and you, have you ever donned a Yankees cap?
Wow. All right. I have an All-Star Game cap from the 2008 All-Star Game. And it has the All-Star Game logo on the front. And there is a little interlocking NY on the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have worn that on occasion. So technically.
No, that's not a Yankees cap. No, I'm talking about like a full-blown Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio Yankees cap.
I don't think so, Buster. I don't think I could. I mean, you know, if I lost a bet, maybe there's something that the three of us need to discuss here for later this season. I have no idea. But I don't think so. I mean, I would have a very difficult time.
By the way, this Sunday night, speaking of the Bucks, there's a chance we're going to get Bucks players at the ballpark during our broadcast. And I would be excited to interview Giannis. And I would also be incredibly concerned about the image of me trying to interview him, you know, unless I could stand on a box. You know? I mean, I know I'm small and I'm short, but that would absolutely put it into full context. And I'm not really wild about that. All right, let's get to this week's Forgotten Franchise.
All right, here we go. Buster, the Providence Grays were an early National League powerhouse, winning two pennants during their eight seasons of play. The Grays won the 1884 World Series, defeating the American Association's New York Metropolitans. This is today recognized as baseball's first interleague postseason championship series. The club played their home games at the Messer Street Grounds, a 6,000-seat structure situated in Providence's Olneyville neighborhood.
Nice.
Your ancestral stomping grounds for your Yankee ancestors. And they were named for the colors of their uniforms, gray flannel, as opposed to the common white uniforms of the day. These uniforms were manufactured by George Wright's Boston-based sporting goods business. Buster, who was George Wright? You know who George Wright was. He was baseball's first superstar, the shortstop for the 1869 Cincinnati Red Stockings, and he also managed the Grays in 1879. His older brother, Harry, the center fielder and manager of the legendary Cincinnati club, managed the Grays in 1882 and 83. The Grays are also the team of noted Twitter man, Charles Old Hoss Radbourne, who won an amazing 60 games for the 1884 championship club. History tells us that Jackie Robinson broke baseball's color barrier in 1947, but first baseman William Edward White, who was born a slave, had a one-game cameo for the Grays on June 21st, 1879. Providence also employed catcher Sandy Nava, the first Mexican-American in Major League history. Other Providence highlights include MLB's second perfect game, pitched by John Montgomery Ward in 1880, and pitcher Charlie Sweeney's 19 strikeouts in an 1884 game versus Boston, a record that wouldn't be broken until Roger Clemens struck out 20 Seattle Mariners 102 years later. Despite turning a profit, the Grays' fractious ownership group wanted more. They always want more. After the 1885 season, the team essentially sold its roster to the owner of the Boston club, today's Braves, and the Grays were dissolved, formally dropping out of the National League on December 3rd, 1885. Like a comet, the Providence Grays burned brightly across the baseball sky before fading away and eventually becoming this week's Forgotten Franchise.
That is some great history, and I could focus on a lot of different elements of it, but of course I'm going to go all ego here and talk about the Olneyville neighborhood. You know, I'll get texts from time to time, or tweets from time to time. People say, have you been to Olney, Illinois? Have you been to Olney, Pennsylvania? Which, if all the folks down there, I know I can always tell when they're from that area, because they'll say, yeah, I grew up right side of Olney. And then they pronounce it like A-L-N-E, which is the way it probably is supposed to be pronounced, the way my aunt pronounces it. I'm curious, Todd and Taylor, are there towns in this country? Is there a Radom in some town named Radom in some state someplace?
It's my understanding that there is a place called Radom, Illinois. It is near St. Louis. It's in the southern part of Illinois. And okay. Buster, you and I and Taylor, we need to do a road trip, because I'm going to go there and I'm going to steal the sign that says "Welcome to Radom." I don't even know if they have one, but maybe we could go to the post office. They may not even have a post office, but that I have never been and I want to go.
Yeah, Taylor, get ready. This podcast is going to be subpoenaed in a future, punitive action against Todd. Is there a Schwenk someplace, Taylor? Mm. Like, have you ever heard in some state, is there some town that's named for your name?
I don't know about Schwenk somewhere in America, but there is a Taylor, Michigan.
That doesn't count. No, we're talking about your last name.
I don't think there's a Schwenk anywhere, really.
Okay. No.
Was your name changed at Ellis Island or the equivalent thereof when your ancestors arrived in this country?
It was. I cannot be sure of what it originally was. Definitely, I think it might have been like Schwinn. The K might have been added, something like that. The SCHW was definitely in play, and it was changed at Ellis Island for sure. But I don't know what it was.
We had one of those. There's always a belief in our family. My maternal grandfather's name, last name was Marks, M-A-R-K-S. And of course, there's the question of whether or not it was M-A-R-X, which, you know, in the 20s wouldn't have gone over quite as well.
No. But you know, you would be a big Reds fan to this day. I'm sorry. I had to go there.
Yeah, I had to go there. That's awesome. All right. Let's get to this week's quiz.
All right, guys. Which one of these clubs has never worn a pinstriped uniform as part of their regular look? Is it A, the Angels? Is it B, the Rangers? Is it C, the Astros? Or is it D, the Dodgers? One of these clubs has never worn a pinstriped uniform as part of their regular look. Angels, Rangers, Astros, Dodgers.
Taylor, go ahead.
I think I might get this one right.
Not that I'm trying to apply pressure on you, Taylor.
Astros, Dodgers. Let's go. See, I feel like I can conjure up a striped uniform for any team in my head right now. Let's go Astros.
I'm going to go Rangers.
Buster.
Oh, damn it.
Correct. The Rangers are it. The Astros wore pinstripes just before this current set that they wear, so they went to the 2005 World Series clad in pinstripes. The Rangers, on the other hand, have never worn pinstripes. And just to get this out there, the Angels in the Mo Vaughn era had pinstripes, their Disney look, and the Dodgers had them many times along the way. But Buster breaks through.
Nice.
Amazing. So just to...
My first correct answer in about 8 weeks.
So the standings are as follows: Taylor 2, Buster 7, with 10 ties along the way. So you made your deadline move here, Buster. This is separation.
Up 5 with about 2 months to go. Taylor, the pressure's mounting.
Yeah, this is a tough look. I mean, the stalemate has finally been broken on the Western Front. I was hoping it would come later rather than sooner. So, we'll just get back to it next week. You know, nose to the grindstone, gritty stuff here.
Nice. All right.
Well,
Todd, thank you for doing this.
Thank you, guys.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets for a fine Friday. And first, I got to mention something. Yesterday, you were tweeting out the show, and we talked AL Manager of the Year, and you got a deluge of responses from people saying, "What about Gabe Kapler for Manager of the Year?" I'm sorry. We talked about AL Manager of the Year, everyone. Please be nice if you're going to not listen to the pod and act like you did, at the very least.
Yeah, I just, like, on those ones, you know, and it's okay. Look, people make mistakes. And so if they thought that, if they just made a simple mistake and forgot that they were in different leagues, that's fine. But when they come at you like, "Hey, you guys are idiots." and then they get the league wrong and the whole context wrong. That's a little much. It's a little much. I was kind of fired up and firing back in some cases.
Yeah, we get a lot of the East Coast bias stuff. I mean, it's all nonsense.
I got that on Facebook, on my account on Facebook. Somebody said that, East Coast bias. I'm like, yeah, we talked about four managers. We talked about Tony La Russa in Chicago. We talked about Dusty Baker, who is in Houston, right? Mm-hmm, We talked about AJ Hinch, who's in Detroit. Those three cities are not East Coast. I wrote to someone. You can look it up on MapQuest. Yeah, Alex Cora, Boston, but the other three are not. Come on.
Look it up on MapQuest. Oh, my goodness. That is that might be the episode title for the day. Let's go to the tweets here. Actually, we have two. A bold one from Andrew at Andrew Sternist. Sorry, Andrew. Does Lance Lynn have a shot at the Hall of Fame? Bold question from Andrew. What do you think, Buster?
No. He is an excellent pitcher, and he's having the best season of his career, a 1.94 ERA, which leads the American League. He has the best ERA plus in the American League at 2.20. He probably at this point would be the front runner for Cy Young Awards. And I'm excited because we get to see him on Sunday night, on Sunday Night Baseball, pitching against the Milwaukee Brewers. A great pitching matchup. Plus, on top of that, Lance Lynn works fast, attacks hitters, which you got to love.
And two teams from two central divisions, not the East Coast, not Yankees Red Sox, although Yankees Red Sox would have been good on Sunday night. I digress. Let's go to Debbie Gammons Brown, who probably agrees with me there, but she writes in, if you're the Red Sox, which AL East team do you fear?
I got to say, like 5 days ago, I think I would have said the Blue Jays on this because it feels like they're gathering momentum. I do think they'll make some more moves before we get to the trade deadline. But after that Nelson Cruz deal, oh, yeah, you're fearing the Rays because they have excellent, you know, depth in their pitching. And getting Nelson Cruz to me was a perfect addition. What do you think, Taylor?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Nelson Cruz guy, obviously. Key cog on those mid-teens Orioles teams. So, yeah, you just got to close your eyes and cruise.
Wow.
I don't know if they still play that when he goes to bat. Exactly. All right, everyone, that's Bleacher Tweets. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter while you're watching the games this weekend. And please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
That's it for today. That's it for this week. My thanks to Debbie for that great question. My thanks to Taylor, to Todd, to Carl. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something that we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.